This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're here for another session on Musa alayhi salatu salam and Harun alayhi salatu salam, and so far we've covered the time when he left Fir'aun's palace and he went to Madian. He spent a lot of years there, he came back. And Allah Azza wa Jal sent him to give this message. He delivered his message, and then there was a challenge from Fir'aun to try and get the sorcerers and the magicians together. And the magicians came together. And last week I explained how there was a one of the greatest shows in Egypt of the time, where Fir'aun was left gobsmacked, and he had nothing to say except to threaten the magicians to accuse Musa alayhi salam that he is their biggest magician, he's their teacher, allamakum as-sihr. And you can see how political this individual is. Now, there's an old saying that politics, and to try and get people to move with your political views, you have to use something to try and make them move in that direction. And one of the old ways is to actually cause fear into people. So you can see what Fir'aun is doing here is that he's threatened the magicians by saying that I'm going to cut your arms from one side and then the leg from another side. I'm going to hang you on date palms and let people see you, you know, die in this state. So that's a fear that he's giving to his own magicians that he brought down for this great show. Now, to Banu Israel, he's going to threaten them with something else. And to Musa alayhi salam, he's going to threaten him with something else. So all of these different threats are going to come. But at the same time, what a politician needs to do is, you can't always live on fear. You've got to give a good explanation, and you've got to make your people believe, even if it's lies, you've got to make them believe that there's a good reason for the politician or for the king to do this, or for one who's in charge to do this, and you've got to make them feel that it's going to benefit them in the end. So all of these things Fir'aun is going to do, because that's what, you know, these are old tricks in the book. Allah Azza wa Jal, when he's talked about Musa alayhi salam, and when he talked about Fir'aun in the Quran, he mentions them, and his name is mentioned in 137 different places for a reason. And the reason is that this ummah is going to go through many political turmoils. And this ummah needs to go back and start seeing what has happened and how to react to these things. Because there are certain times when you have to just say, you know, in the face of evil, in the face of enemies, in the face of those who are trying to crack you down and trying to threaten you, sometimes it's just dua. That is an actual thing. Sometimes you have to get up with your arms, don't get me wrong, and sometimes you have to stand up for your rights, but sometimes it's just dua. And this is what happens here, is that magicians talk back to Fir'aun, and when they said, we don't care what you actually decide, then they said something. They said, Rabbana afriq alayna sabara wa tawaffana muslimin. They said, this is ayah number 126 in surah number 7. They said, oh, our Lord, pour over us sabr, drench us in patience, wa tawaffana muslimin, and make us pass away from this world and die as those people who are going to be submitting to you. We don't want to submit to this tyrant and to this individual. Now, this is almost saying to the face of Fir'aun, that Fir'aun, you're threatening us to hang us. And we're saying we don't care. And we're also turning to that Lord by saying that, oh Lord, make us die as Muslims. Make us die on the deen of Musa and Harun alayhi salam. So it's like a double blow to Fir'aun. And one of the you know, one of the subtleties, one of the, you know, things that the ulama have said of tafsir here is that there's a really, if you look into the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, you will see that twice Allah mentions alqa or alqaw. So Allah says, فَأَلْقَوْ حِبَالَهُمْ وَعُسِيَّهُمْ. They threw their sticks and ropes to try and cast the magic that will eventually, you know, beat Musa alayhi salam. This was the magicians. When they threw it, Allah used the word فَأَلْقَوْ. And then minutes or moments after, when the whole situation was really heated with all everyone towards, you know, for the magicians and against Musa alayhi salam, and when Musa alayhi salam threw his stick, Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحْرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ. That the magicians, they then flung and they threw down their heads in sujood to Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, 1 minute they're throwing their sticks in kufr and in disbelief to try and defeat the haqq and the truth. And another moment they're throwing their heads down and bowing down to the truth, because the truth has hit them. And one of the things that, subhanAllah al-Azim, you know, is quite clear in the Quran is that if you don't accept the truth in this world, then you're going to have to accept it in the next world. And the position is that those of us who have done sujood to Allah in this world will be able to do sujood to Allah in the next world. There will be a moment on the Day of Judgment, Allah will say, you know, usjudu, just bow down and just go into prostration for me. And the believers will do that. Believers who prayed will be able to go to sajda. Those of them who never prayed, and even the disbelievers who never used to pray on this earth, they will not be able to do it. They will just be standing and be prevented from doing the sujood. So there's two things. One is ruku' and one is sujood. So as for the evidence of the sujood, this is in Ayah number 42 of Surah number 68. Allah says, وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. They'll be called to make a prostration in front of Allah and they will not be able to do it. As for ruku', Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ. This is Ayah number 48 of Surah number 77. When they're told on the Day of Judgment to actually bow down to Allah in ruku', they will not be able to bow down in ruku'. So what it shows is that people will desperately want to do Allah's ibadah in the next world, but they will not be able to do Allah's ibadah in the next world. And there's a saying that, subhanAllah al-Azim, that if you don't come to the masjid willingly to pray to Allah, you should be scared of a moment that you might be brought in unwillingly for your janazah. If you don't come willingly for your salah and you come yourself with your own legs into the masjid to pray to Allah, there might be a moment when you're gone, you're dead, and you are brought into the masjid unwillingly on the shoulders of others because it's your janazah. So anyway, we're here at the moment now. What is Fir'aun going to do? So let's look at, you know, he's going to get multiple, you know, suggestions now, because it's something that's never happened to any of the Fir'auns, any of the pharaohs before him or himself. Never has this happened, that a man stands up to him who belongs to the opposite or the opposition, and a man who is even who can't even speak properly, and a man who is from the people of the slaves, he stands up and he comes and he ruins, you know, the show of Fir'aun, and he outshines the master. This is never going to be tolerated. So what does Fir'aun do now? Fir'aun, on the one hand, has his mala, his council, his close people. And they egg him on. Now don't forget, there's a two-way process here, like I said. Sometimes Fir'aun's actions are going to influence the council, and sometimes the council will influence the opinion of Fir'aun and what he says. So this is ayah number 127 of Surah number 7. وَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِ فِرْعَوْنَ أَتَذَرُ مُوسَى وَقَوْمَهُ لِيُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَيَذَرَكَ وَآلِهَتَكَ. His council said to him, from who were representatives of the people of Misr, of the people of Egypt, they said, are you going to just let Musa wander around? Are you going to abandon Musa? Because Fir'aun was kind of shocked. And he didn't know how to handle this man because already this man has come into his palace, threw his staff down, and it was a massive serpent that Fir'aun first got scared of. And the second thing, Musa takes his hand out from beneath his armpit and shows him a shining light that Fir'aun is almost blinded. Now that was one. Now he's sucked up all the sticks of all his magicians, and his magicians have even started to believe in him, and they're following him around. Okay, and there's people in Banu Israel who are like, hailing on, saying, this is it. Allah has sent us the one who's going to destroy this tyrant. And Fir'aun doesn't know how to make a direct challenge to Musa, but he's told by his counselor, they say that, are you going to just let him wa qawmahu? Now it's his own tribe. They're behind him now. And they've got support. لِيُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that they're going to corrupt the earth, or they're going to corrupt Misr, the whole of Egypt. وَيَذَرَكْ, and he even deserts you. وَآلِهَتَكْ, and he doesn't even care about your gods. He says that there is one God who is Allah, or Allah. You know the way they sometimes pronounce it, Allah. So وَيَذَرَكَ وَآلِهَتَكْ, they're deserting you, they're deserting, your gods. Now, Fir'aun had to show that, he's in power. Okay, so what did he do? Now, all these years, remember when Musa alayhi salam was young, at that time the sorcerer said that there's going to be a baby that's going to be born, and that baby is going to be the reason for the destruction of your kingdom. Now, what's maturing in Fir'aun is the fact that this very imposter in his eyes is the very kid that he brought up, the one single child he risked, is the very one that is going to destroy his whole nation and is going to destroy his kingdom. Now he needs to show that, he needs to threaten all of them. Now don't forget another thing that has happened. The Mufassirin say that at this moment, when Musa alayhi salam actually showed his when he showed his two miracles in front of Fir'aun, the hand and the stick being thrown down, the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya, believed in Musa alayhi salam secretly and privately. So Fir'aun has this sense that his wife is not with him on this. She kept her iman hidden because she could actually get killed if she showed that she was a believer. So Fir'aun at this stage knows there's an internal threat within his palace, there's an external threat, in his kingdom, and his own counselors are saying, what are you going to do? So he now establishes the old law that he had when Musa alayhi salam was getting born. When Musa alayhi salam was about to be born, he killed the sons and he allowed the daughters to stay alive. Now, because the sons, who were supposed to be the people keeping Misr alive and working for them, were lessening, he then said, okay, 1 year you'll kill them, 1 year you won't kill them, 1 year you'll kill them, 1 year you won't kill them. But after a while, they scrapped it because the threat wasn't alive. And they thought, you know what? By killing them, we're just killing our own slaves who are really going to make, Misr what Misr is. Now Fir'aun said, سَنُقَتُّلُ أَبْنَامُ, let's go out there again, kill their sons, and allow their daughters to stay alive. وَإِنَّ فَوْقَهُمْ قَاهِرُونَ, we're going to remain above them, subduing them. We're going to be remaining in power. So the soldiers went out and found, whatever newborn babies they were, and young children, they just killed them. Now this was the second time it happened. Now you can imagine what the effect of this is going to be on the people of Banu Israel. They were praying all these years for Allah to send them a person who's going to release them from the tyranny of Fir'aun. And here Musa comes, and now their eyes have changed towards Musa, alayhi salam. Because he's the reason why now the children are getting killed again. Imagine, can you imagine if a government sent towards a nation in this time, to just kill randomly any sons you've got of a particular nation? What kind of, reaction you'd have towards, you think, you can't even do anything about it. Now, Musa alayhi salam turned towards them and he said, Ista'inu billahi wasbiru. Seek help from Allah and have sabr. Now, he's trying to give them the belief. Now imagine, your children are getting killed, your sons are getting killed. And he's saying to you, just pray to Allah, seek help from Allah, and have sabr and have patience. That's like, come on. And there's got to be something more than that. You kind of get this feeling. There's got to be more than that. And it's kind of a feeling that is going on today amongst a lot of people who kind of see all these images across the world and they think, you know what? They're telling us to do sabr, sabr, sabr. But Musa alayhi salam reminds them of one thing. He says, innal arda lillah, the land of Allah. Fir'aun thinks that he is the one in control and he's going to remain above you as the subduer. What you've got to understand is that that the whole of Misr, whole of Egypt, and everything Fir'aun has, and all the things that make Fir'aun have his kingdom, and the whole of the world, in fact, belongs to Allah. يُرِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. He'll give it to whoever he wants from his slaves. So he can give it to somebody else tomorrow. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. But eventually, those who have the taqwa of Allah, those who are conscious of Allah, and it stops them from sinning, they will eventually inherit it. They then turned to Musa alayhi salam and they said, because their sons are getting killed now, they said, Udina min qabli an ta'tiyana. They said, we've been tortured before you came. Wa min ba'di ma ji'tana. We now are getting tortured after you've come to us. Before you come, Musa, we got tortured with our children being killed. And now that you come, we're getting tortured again. Second time over. This is ayah number 129, surah number 7. Then Musa alayhi salam says, Asa rabbukum an yuhlika aduwakum. This is a really important matter, which most youngsters, most people who are looking for a revolution, most people who are looking for a change, they don't think about this. Now this is coming from the mouth of a prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is really important for us to consider, which is what? Asa rabbukum an yuhlika aduwakum. It is quite certain that that Allah Azza wa Jal, your Lord, will destroy your enemy. It is quite certain that Allah will destroy Fir'aun. وَيَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. But then, after Fir'aun being destroyed and his men being destroyed, you're going to be the people who will replace him. فَيَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. And then Allah will then watch you and observe you, how you will run Misr and how you will rule the earth. Now what most people think about in a revolution, because what happens is this is the system. Time goes by and then the tyrant will start to be, continue his tyranny, continue until he gets to a climax. When he gets to a climax, people will be so fed up, they'll say, we just want him to die, and we just want to overthrow him. That's what's on their mind. What they don't look at is, how are they going to continue after they throw the tyrant down? Many a times in history, what has happened is, the tyrant came down, with him came all his men and his system, and then new people came in, and they caused more corruption. Or they didn't know how to handle the situation. It got out of hand, and boom, that's when they fell down. Or a lot of facade and a lot of other corruptions came up. Now you can see in recent times, people were sick and tired of Saddam Hussein. They were sick and tired of him, and they wanted him down. The thing was, let's get him down. But the world looks behind now. The world looks, 11 years behind, 10 years behind, and the world starts to scratch its head and say, he might have been a tyrant, but the people who came after him and took over that country, they didn't do any better. I know there are many factors. There are many factors that are playing here, including the factors of external, people coming in and putting and messing things up. And I know all of that. But let's just look at it. When you try and do something of that kind, where you remove the one, what you've got to understand is, though he was a tyrant, he still had a system that was working. He was a tyrant, yes. And he had men who were tyrants, yes. And they were doing zulm and oppression on many people, yes. And if you kind of liked Saddam, then he was on your side. If he didn't like you, then he'd probably kill you, or he'd probably just, leave you to rot somewhere. But the thing was, Iraq was running. Okay, the whole system was running. And now, after 10 years, you can just go back and visit and see how many different fitnas have risen because, all of this was subdued beforehand. Now, what the point here is that people, you know, they need to have, if they're going to have a plan, they need to have the full plan. The full plan is, once you get rid of the tyrant, what are you going to do after that? And are you capable of running the kingdom or the place that you, where you just thrown a leader down? So this is a significant factor, and people must not forget this. Anyhow, what happens is, Fir'aun starts with another way. Now this is what is just done by causing tyranny onto the people of Banu Israel. He then comes out and he says to the people of Misr, he's going to now talk to them and he's going to address them. Okay? So one of the things he does, we don't know at one point what point he did this, but one of the things he does is he calls Haman, his close mason, advisor, the one who builds his great monuments in Misr, and he says, Haman, ma alimtu lakum min ilahin ghayri. He says, I don't see no other lord, no other deity, no one worthy of worship except myself. Fir'aun says that. This is in the Quran. He calls Haman, these are counselors there, people are listening. Haman, I don't see anyone else except me being the Lord. I don't see Musa's Lord. I don't know where he is. Now I need to find out where this Musa's Lord is. So in order for me to find out where this Musa's Lord is, I need your help. And what you're going to do for me is, you're going to build for me a monument and a tower in the heart of Misr. This is going to be the tallest structure anyone has seen, the tallest ever you built. So this is in ayah number 38 of surah number 28. He says, yeah, and he says this to Haman, okay, and another time he says it, you know, where Haman is and the council is, another time he addresses the council direct and he says, ya ayyul mala ma alimtu lakum min ilahin ghayri. So, you know, I don't know anyone else except for me as being the Lord. So once he says that, he says, فَأَوْقِدْ لِي يَا هَامَانَ عَلَى الطِّينِ. Haman, get ready with all your cement and with the, you know, bricks and start to build for me this monument. Now, this monument was going to take a lot of the resources of Misr because they've never built anything like this before. And as he's building this, you know, Fir'aun comes again and again, and he starts to stand higher and higher and higher. Each time it reaches another height, Fir'aun's at the top. And you can imagine the awe that he's creating in the people who are watching that. Fir'aun's doing something serious. What is he doing? He's building this monument. Now this monument, you know, it had multiple purposes. Fir'aun's a clever man. He's not silly just to waste his, you know, waste his materials on a tower that's got nothing. On the one hand, he said, this is in ayah number 38 of surah 28, he said, make me this tower, attali'u ila ilahi Musa. I'm going to climb up there as highest as I can to the clouds and above the clouds. Now don't forget, in their time they had no aeroplanes, they had no rockets, nobody has traveled that far. No man has gone that far. So he said, I'm going to climb until we get to the clouds. And then you will make it above the clouds. And when you make it above the clouds, I will go up there and I will look to see where the Lord of Musa is. And I'm telling you right now that I'm going to find him as a liar. وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّهُ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. He's a liar. And when I go up there myself and I see that Musa, Lord, doesn't exist, then I'll be able to tell you, the council, and I'll be able to tell all of Banu Israel that Musa is a liar. So that was the reason why he wanted the tower. Okay? Right. Now, another one he said, لَعَلِّي أَبْلُغُ الْأَسْبَابِ أَسْبَابَ السَّمَوَاتِ. He said, forget me. He said, I'm the Lord of the earth, yes. Musa's claiming that his Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. So he's trying to score two by saying that I only have one. Two, his Lord has, the heavens and the earth, and he's saying I only have one. So what I'm going to do right now is I am going to prove to you guys that I'm the Lord of the heavens and the earth. So when you build this tower, I'm going to be the Lord of the sky and the Lord of the earth. And I'm the one you can see. As for his Lord, you can't see him. So I'm going to prove to you who the Lord of the heavens and the earth is. Wow, man, this guy is serious. Yeah. So then he says, same thing. He says, فَأَطَّلِعَ إِلَهِ إِلَهِ مُوسَى. I want to find out where that Lord is of the skies. He said he's in the skies. We can't see him on the earth. I bet you we will not be able to see him in the skies. Okay, so this is the thing that he said to everyone. Everyone said, yeah, carry on. Haman, start building. So they start building. But there was another real reason for this. Apart from creating awe in the people of Misr, apart from showing who has got the greatest material, the greatest power, what Fir'aun wanted to do is he wanted to make this the greatest watchtower for the Banu Israel. Because from that tower, now he would get up. And before, he had to sit on his throne, he had to sit on his palace, he had to send his men out, he had to make them go out to who's doing what, whatever. Now Fir'aun's work is simple. He goes up there, he stands, and he can see all the slaves working in one go. Any slave is out of hand, he can see them from the tower. It's almost like when they've got the satellites watching you, brother. You know what I'm saying, When the satellite, because it's for security, We've got to watch these guys. Now they've got a guy going around them, they're spoiling them, and all they're going to do, they're going to spoil your civilization. He's already said he's going to take away your civilization. And Fir'aun, at that moment, what he did also is he announced he's going to kill Musa. This was an early threat that he gave. Now his threat matured over time. So after this big show that Fir'aun put up, he talked to his council. His council said, you're going to let him go? He said, no, this is a speech now to his people. What did he say in his speech to his people? He said to his people, this is again in the Quran, in Surah Mu'min, Surah number 40. He said, Dharuni aqtul Musa wal yadu Rabbah. He said, he's got a Lord. Right. You allow me to kill Musa. This is in ayah number 26 of surah number 40. Inni akhafu an yubaddila dinakum. My biggest fear is that you, the people of Misr, are going to change your religion. Your religion is that this whole system works upon the Pharaonic system. We, your lords, your gods that are there, and I'm your greatest gods which you bow down to. And if this all goes, your whole of Misr is going to go. Allow Musa to call his lord while I try to kill him. And the second thing I fear is, أَنْ يُظْهِرَ فِي الْأَرْضِ الْفَسَادِ. Musa is going to cause a lot of corruption on this earth. See, exactly the same kind of tone that has been said today. These guys, they're going to cause corruption. There's going to be, the kind of way and the civilization, all that is going to change and blah, 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 and they put you in a dilemma. The dilemma is, are you giving more preference to your religion over your country or your country over your religion? It's more or less the same thing that is being said. And they put you in a dilemma. And Musa alayhi salatu, and by saying this, guys, what I'm not trying to say to you is us versus them. And I'm not taking any names here. I just want you to know that sometimes there is a dialogue that might start like this. It's not everyone. Because Allah azza wa jal, from the council of Fir'aun, from his own family members, a man stands up and he challenges Fir'aun. He challenges him. And first when he challenges him, he kind of makes it very sort of subtle and he gives really good arguments. And this is all going to be mentioned, inshallah, next week I can mention some of this. This is going to be surah number 40, ayah number 28 onwards. But this challenge where an internal person tells Fir'aun about the truth is going to come. Now what does Fir'aun do when he has this great tower? He gives a great speech to his people. This is surah number 43, ayah number 51. وَنَادَى فِرْعَوْنُ فِي قَوْمِهِ Fir'aun called all his people. He called his own people, he called the Banu Israel. Now they're all listening to him, he's on the tower. He said, يَا قَوْم, my people, أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرُ doesn't this entire sovereignty of the kingdom of Egypt, doesn't it belong to me? And do you not see, وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي. Do you not see that these rivers are under my command? The river Nile is under my command. Because of the river Nile, we have a civilization. And where else would you get the river Nile if it wasn't me, your Lord, and if it wasn't for the lords that we have? So he basically is giving a load of, you know, all right, to them. So he's saying that because this river is running, and the river is the source of the civilization, and he's saying that it's his, and the whole of Misr is his, that's how they've survived. He said, أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ? Do you not see this? أَمْ أَنَا خَيْرٌ? Do you not see that I'm a better person for you to rule this entire Misr? مِنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ مَهِينٌ? Then this Moses, who is a lowly character, who's a lowlifer, he's got no status, he hasn't got what I have. What are you, Kadu Yubin? He can't even speak without having a stammer. Can you listen to my language, how I speak to you? Okay, so this was another delil and evidence he's given. Then he says, فَلَوْلَا أُلْقِيَ عَلَيْهِ أَسْوِرَةٌ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ. Hey, guy. Hey, my people. Do you not see these golden bracelets that I have on my side now? What they used to do, those Firauns, is they used to make bracelets that are made of gold, and they used to place them on their arms. And this showed that, you know, you've got a lot of money, and you're an upper class, and you are seriously from aristocrat, you know, society. Okay, nobody in Misr could afford to put that much gold on their arms on both sides, except if you were from the aristocrat society. So he said, well, if Moses was really a prophet to you, then where's his gold? Why doesn't he have bracelets? Why? Okay, he doesn't have bracelets to show you, and I've got the bracelets. He can't speak. Let me give you another one. He says, why don't we see angels? You know, he talks about this unseen world and these angels. Well, why don't we see the angels coming with him? أَوْجَاءَ مَعَهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مُقْتَدِنِينَ. So through this speech, what Allah says is, فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُ فَأَطَاعُوهُ. He made his people stupefied. He made them think and believe in these things that were not even real. فَأَطَاعُوهُ, and they obeyed him. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا فَاسِقِينَ. They were rebellious, they obeyed him. And Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us about this speech. Now, subhanAllah, look at his claim. His claim is, Misr, the river Nile, is his. And because of that, the people are living. So what did Allah do? Allah Azza wa Jalla thought, okay, now Fir'aun, you crossed the line. I'm going to teach you a lesson. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah says in ayah number 130 of surah number 7, وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ بِالسِّنِينَ. Allah then brought the third sign. Allah gave in total nine signs. Sign number one was the staff of Musa alayhi salam that turns into a serpent. Sign number two was his hand that comes out. And this is sign number three, the miracle of Musa alayhi salam. Allah brings about sinin, which is drought. The whole of Misr suddenly starts to dry up. And now, there's no water. There's a big shortage of water. So, Fir'aun is like, whoa, I just gave this speech, man, that, you know, I'm the Lord here. Now, how is he looking? Right? His old people come to him and he said, you're the Lord of it. You know, they're thinking, you're the Lord of all of this. Yeah, yeah, make the waters come, man. Make the rains come. Now, Fir'aun can't do it. He can't do it. Now he's looking really stupid and silly in front of his people. So what is he going to do? So he finds, you know, finally when he's going to lose his whole throne now. So he calls Musa secretly. He says, Musa, hey, listen, come here, look, come here. I won't harm you, come here. Musa, look, I strike your deal. He says, well, he says, you ask Allah to take away this drought and bring back the rains, And I'm going to release Banu Israel tomorrow. They're yours. You take them. He said, really? He said, yes. So Musa hasn't raised his hands. There's a good drought for a good, you know, weeks and months. We don't know how. Musa hasn't raised his hands. Allah, take the drought of this country away. And Allah Azza wa Jal then takes the drought away. The rains come back again. And Fir'aun comes back out. He said, did you see? Musa used his magic to create a drought, and I was the one who released it. Allahu Akbar. So then what did Allah do? Allah sent the fourth sign. Naqsim min al-thamarat. None of the things that they were producing were lasting. Everything at the last moment, whether it was harvest, whether it was crops, whether it was, you know, whatever it is, yeah, it's basically not getting to the end. They can't keep the fruits to continue. They can't keep the livestock to the moment that they want to eat it. It just somehow gets corrupted. So now they're thinking it's a curse. So what they did is, Fir'aun and his people, they said, Musa and his people, because of them, our cultivation, our crops, our civilization has been cursed. If we manage to move Musa and his people, you know, we manage to stop them from what they're doing, what they're saying, then we might be able to stop the curse. Fir'aun, what does he do? He calls Musa again privately. He says, Musa, come. Just go, make dua. Make dua for this to go away. Musa Alayhi goes back, he makes dua to Allah. And then, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, all the crops are now surviving, they're getting good cultivation like before. Fir'aun comes back again, he says, see, his magic is not going to stop us. They said, this is ayah number 133, surah number 7. وَقَالُوا مَهْمَا تَأْتِنَا بِهِ مِنْ آيَةٍ لِتَسْحَرَنَا بِهَا. Every time, Moses, you come with one of your magical skills to try and drive us from here, to try and bewitch us, to try and cause magic on us, فَمَا نَحْنُ لَكَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. We're not going to believe in you. So now, you know, these two didn't work. First didn't work, second didn't work, third didn't work, fourth. Allah said, okay, Allah's going to increase the power now. And Fir'aun's there saying, see, I'm in charge of the waters. I'm in charge of all these lands, and the water all comes under my power. I am your Lord. Yeah. Allah said, okay. So you bring the waters back, huh? You bring the waters back. So Allah brought another one. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الطُّوفَانِ. Allah then sent the thunders, the storms, and the rains came. So much rain that all their whole fields and everything that they were growing, all of it drowned, and the rain won't stop. The rains came down, and the rains come down, and the rains come down. And it's like, you know, rain all coming into the palace, rain coming to the houses, rain coming to the homes, and they're like, they're sick and tired of it. So then they turn, and it's like a whole hurricane that's around. You can't go outside, the winds are blowing. They come to, you know, Fir'aun, they say, Fir'aun, do something! What does Fir'aun do? Musa, come here. Look, this time I'm serious. This time, no joking about. Yeah, I'm gonna release them. So Musa alayhi salam makes dua, and when he makes dua, Fir'aun goes back to his ways. So Allah said, okay, you want a mess? Okay, let me send you the next one. Okay, so these are many different signs that came, and each time Fir'aun is not bowing down. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he sends jarad, locusts. Now these locusts, I don't know if you've seen sometimes when there's a whole, you know, a problem of having these pesticides and locusts around, you can't walk or go, they're all over you. They're all over you, your animals, your clothes, everything. So this became another thing. And they thought, you know, this is crazy. And now some of them, deep inside, they know the truth. Deep inside, they know the truth. But they just can't admit to it. And at the same time, the people of Musa alayhi salam, they now know that Allah is establishing the truth. Allah is doing all of this. And they know that Musa alayhi salam is the one that takes it away. So Musa alayhi salam, again, he does dua. And again, they come back. So Allah said, okay, You wanna carry on? Okay, fine. Now Allah makes frogs. Frogs come. Now these frogs, oh, the frogs were everywhere. You go try and go in bed, frogs. You put your shoes on, frog. Yeah, try and put your clothes on, frogs. Yeah, frogs in your house, frogs in your bathroom, frogs in your kitchen, frogs in your hundi, frogs in your pot, frogs everywhere. And you can imagine that, you know, normally when you have a woman in the house and there's a little spider, sometimes, go and get the spider, go and get the spider. There's only one spider. Imagine your woman in the house, frog in the hat, frog in the blanket, frog underneath, frog everywhere, frogs everywhere. There are so many frogs, they've just gone crazy. So Fir'aun again, he calls Musa. Musa, just do it. You'll get Banu Israel. Take them away with you. Musa makes dua, gone. He says his magic is not going to stop us. So Allah sends another one. These were all from outside, yeah? These are all from, Allah sent these outside. Now he's going to get personal. Allah's going to show them personal signs. So far, number one was the stick, then the hand, then the drought, then the production wasn't you know surviving. Okay, so Allah took the fruits and other things away. That's four. Number five was the tufan, the hurricanes, the rains that came. Number six was the locusts. Number seven, the another one is the frogs. Then Allah gave them another one. This one's personal to them. All these things you probably think that okay, you know, you find a way of saying it's got to be an explanation to this. Maybe it's the weather. Maybe it's outside. Maybe it's with the rains comes the frogs and this and that. You can probably say something. But now Allah gave them qummal, lice in their hair, nits in their hair. Nits, all of Fir'aun's people, they have nits. And the nits are killing them. They're itching, they're scratching, trying to get rid of them. Now the thing is, you know, people who are aristocrats, they like to keep nice hair. Understand? They don't like to shave it off. They like to keep the nice hair. So the thing is, if they shave it off, it's going to make them look bad. Because I'm not talking about today's time. Because today's time, people shave, people keep, it doesn't matter. But in that time, you got to understand how Fir'aun and they lived. They lived with great hair. And to have nits and lice in that hair, it was a curse. And they couldn't shave it off and they didn't have a way to get it out. And it was ruining their night and their day. Just itching and itching and itching and itching and blood coming itching. Musa alayhi salam, again he makes dua. Allah again takes it away. And again Fir'aun says, hey, every time you come with one of your magic tricks, we're going to show you who, you know, we are and I am. So now Allah makes it even more personal. This one was the most personal thing that, you know, any man would shake up, which is Allah gave them blood pouring down from their nose. All of a sudden, Fir'aun, his whole counselors, his all of these people are believing in him. They have blood, they can't stop the blood. Then, worse than this, is they pick up a glass of water to drink it. When they bring it to their mouth, it's turned to blood. They can't take water inside their bodies without it turning to blood. And this was one of the biggest signs Allah gave. If nothing else would make them, you know, turn away, this should have made them turn away. فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا وَكَانُوا قَوْمًا مُجْرِمِينَ Allah says, ayah number 133 of surah number 7, that they became arrogant. And because of their arrogance, they became a people who were rebellious. Now, Fir'aun tried his best to try and subdue these people and subdue Musa. Now, don't forget, Fir'aun also is kind of getting scared of Musa alayhi salam, and he doesn't truly understand how to handle the situation. So what happens then is, this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, like, what happens is, he is now at the point where he is completely, you know, at the stage where he has to kill Musa. He has to find a way to kill this man. And if he gets rid of this man, then that will be the end of his troubles and the things that he's facing. Now, let me just come to this. I said I'm going to come to you next week, but might as well just do it this week. Which is this man from the counselors of Firaun, from his close people, he stands up. And look, listen to his arguments. And there's no excuse left for Firaun. Allah says in ayah number 28 of surah number 40, وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مُؤْمِنٌ مِّنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ. After these signs, who could stop but believe in this? So there was a man amongst his counselors who believed in Musa alayhi salam. But Allah said, يَكْتُمُ إِيمَانَ. He was hiding his iman. He didn't want to reveal that he's a believer. He said, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. He said, you're going to just go ahead and just kill a man who his only thing really is, he's saying that my Lord is Allah. But what about all the signs that have come, clear signs from you know, your Lord? We've seen, you know, all these signs. We've seen the storms, and we've seen the, you know, the locusts, the blood, and the you know, frogs, and then the locusts. Well, you know, all these signs that we've seen. What about all of that? You're just going to negate all of that and just go ahead and kill him? وَإِنْ يَكُ كَذِبًا فَعَلَيْهِ كَذِبُ وَإِنْ يَكُ صَادِقًا يُصِبُكُمْ بَعْضُ الَّذِي يَدُكُمْ. Now he gives a logical conclusion to this. Okay? Will be another about 10 minutes, inshallah. He gives a logical conclusion. He says that if, suppose, Musa is a liar. Let's all suppose for one moment that Musa is a liar. If he's a liar, then in the end, his lie will befall him. End of the matter. So let's just say he's a liar, and we were to say that, okay, he's just a liar, we're not going to believe him, then fine. In the end, he'll be finished, and we'll be the ones saying, ha ha ha, Musa was a liar. وَإِنْ يَكُوا صَادِقًا. But suppose that Musa is saying the truth. If he's saying the truth, and he's saying that after we die, we're going to be resurrected, then the things that he's saying and promising of the hereafter, they're going to face you, and they're going to befall you and me. We're going to have to face that. So there's a chance here that what he's doing is a total lie and a fallacy, but there's a chance it might be truth. But imagine that if it's truthful, what happens? Now, this knocks the conscience of the people who are listening to him. These are these counselors, and you know, these are Fir'aun's also listening in. And then he says, this is the man who's a believer. Inna Allah la yahdi man huwa musrifun kadhdhab. We all know that the one who's a great liar and the one who exceeds his limits, he's never going to be guided. He will never get his guidance. Ya qawm, lakumul mulku al-yawma zahirina fil ard. My people, today you have this land of Misr, and it's yours. And you are the people who are on top, ruling. And you are the people who run Misr. فَمَنْ يَنْصُرُنَا مِنْ بَأْسِ اللَّهِ إِنْ جَاءَنَا. After all these signs that have come to us, if the moment when Allah decides to destroy us, that comes, what are we going to do? Who's going to help you? Who is going to come and help you, rescue you? Now, Fir'aun said at that moment, when Fir'aun heard this, he said, مَا أُرِيكُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَرَى. I did not show you anything except what I'm seeing. I showed you that I'm in charge, and all of this is in front of our eyes. Seeing is believing. See, this is an old thing. We see this is believing. We can't see Musa's Lord. What are you talking about? وَمَا أَهْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ. He said, I'm saying nothing, but I'm guiding you to the best future that you have of your lives in this world. Now the man who was a believer said, يَا قَوْمُ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِثْلَ يَوْمِ الْأَحْزَابِ. He said, oh my people, let's start counting and let's look in history, because those people who haven't learned their history are prone to repeating its mistakes. The people who don't study history and see the patterns in history, they're going to be the people who will be at the end of the wrong side of being the victims of history. He said, مِثْلَ دَأْبِ قَوْمِ نُوحٍ. He said, we heard the tales of Noah, before. We heard Ad and Thamud, the giants who were destroyed. These are stories that we have in our civilization. وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. And there are many who came before and who were destroyed. وَمَا اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ ظُلْمًا لِلْعِبَادٍ. You know, Musa's Lord, Allah, is, you know, when he preaches, he's saying that he doesn't want to do any zulm and oppression on his servants. Now, this is another dig at Fir'aun. Because Fir'aun being a, you know, claiming to be a lord, he's committing zulm and oppression. And this man is saying that, you know, Musa's Lord, he's not the one, you know, when Musa preaches, he's not saying that his Lord is committing oppression. Ya qawm, O my people, inni akhafu alaykum yawma tanad. I fear for you the day when there will be a great call, when we will be summoned on the day of judgment. Yawma tuwalluna mudbirin, the day when you will turn around and start fleeing. مَا لَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ عَاصِمٍ. There won't be anyone that will be able to save you from Allah. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهِ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَذَا. And whoever Allah leads astray, and there's no one to guide him. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ يُوسُفُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Don't you remember? Yusuf alayhi salam, that was just here in Misr, just a short while ago. And after he finished as a king, well, as a person who was a minister, or some say he was a king, after he finished, فَمَا زِلْتُمْ فِي شَكِّ مِمَّا جَاءَكُمْ بِهِ. You continuously had some doubts with what he actually wrote. Basically what happened is, you know, when Yusuf alayhi salam, he came with Nubuwwah and he came with prophethood. There was a time when prophethood was prominent in Misr. But then these people came to power and they had doubts in what Yusuf alayhi salam left behind. And Yaqub and, you know, his whole family line that left behind, they had doubts in this. Hatta idha halaka, when Yusuf alayhi salam passed away, qultum lan yab'ath Allahu min ba'di rasula. You said there will never be a man like Yusuf ever again to come to Misr who's going to claim to be a prophet. Kadhalika yudhillu Allah. This is how Allah leads astray anyone who goes beyond his limits and he starts to have caused doubts. الَّذِينَ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Those who start to make arguments in front of the signs of God. بِغَيْرِ سُلْطَانٍ أَتَاهُمْ. You guys, you have nothing that you can show against the miracles of Musa. Musa showed his miracles. Do we have anything to match the miracles of Musa? We don't have anything. كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَعِنْدَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. This will make us be hated in the sight of Allah and hated in the sight of the believers. كَذَلِكِ يَطْبَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ قَلْبٍ مُتَكَبِّرٍ جَبَّارٍ. And Allah will, this is how when we deny the signs, Allah will then seal the hearts of anyone who's seen his signs and they deny it. And Allah will seal the hearts of this mutakabbir, the one who's arrogant and the one who is a jabbar, or that who's a tyrant. Now subhanAllah, the speech he's giving is a big speech. He's hit them right in the head. And this man is an insider. This man is an insider. It's not like Moses and Musa saying it. It's an insider. Now, what do we learn from this before I, you know, go ahead? What we learn from this, guys, and we must understand, is whenever you get a kufr organization, an organization of tyranny, they're not all the same. Inside them, you will find those that are at the height of tyranny. Amongst them, you will find those that just sympathize with them. And amongst them, you will find those that hate them and who rebel against them. Any government you will find that there are, you know, people who are rebelling within their own party. And this is the case that happens. And what we need to do is, as Muslims, you know, we can't create this black and white world. It doesn't work. And the thing is about this one, what strikes me most about this individual, which is in, you know, when Allah mentions in ayah number 28 of surah number 40, he says that this one, rajulun mu'min, he's a man who believes, yaktumu imana, he's hiding his faith. So what Allah is trying to say to us is, there may be some people that you see as people who are non-believers, and you might think just because they're hanging around them, there must be non-believers. Just because they're with their policies, there must be non-believers. But in fact, there could be believers inside. So we've got to understand that, look, never has Allah allowed that a people come into power and they start to cause oppression, that amongst them there will not be someone that will stand and say, look, I'm not having any of this. Even in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, there were people from the Sadat to Quraysh, from the greatest of the leaders of Quraysh, who left the Quraysh way and who believed at the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of them was Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He was a young upcoming leader who just did what he was like, "You guys are just chatting, man. I'm gonna go and do the job. I'm gonna go and kill him." He was a young upcoming leader. And on his route to kill Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know the story that he believed in Islam. And when he came to Islam, Islam got it strengthened his backbone because he came to Islam. Now, he's still going to give his speech. His speech hasn't finished. Okay, he's going to carry on giving his speech because he's hitting them hard. He's telling them, look, what about if Musa's right? What about, have you got anything to go against Musa? What about the civilization before? Look how they got, look what happened to them. What about if the same happens to us? What about if we start to get destroyed? And what about all the signs that we've just denied? What about Yusuf alayhi salam that was here before? What about your attitude towards this whole prophecy that used to come on this earth? And you've denied him and said, there's never going to be another messenger. Now you don't want Musa to actually be a messenger. What about if he is a messenger? Why don't you consider those things? So he's giving it his best shot to try and bring belief inside them. And we'll hear what, inshallah, we'll carry on with this next week. We'll hear what the reply of Fir'aun is and some other words that he says to them, inshallah. So, jazakum Allah khair, wa akhir da'wana, and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Have you guys got any questions before we leave? Any questions on today? Next week, yeah. Next week, inshallah, after Isha again, inshallah, we'll do after Isha. Jazakum Allah khair, assalamu alaikum. ذكر علم ونور الحاملات سنا ونور والرسمات هنا سرور يا حلوى تلك السنين. The Safar curriculum covers all the Islamic educational needs of young Muslims today in a fun, simple and engaging way. Tried and tested for over 15 years at one of the UK's leading maktabs. The curriculum has been adopted by hundreds of institutions around the world and makes your child's journey in seeking knowledge easy, meaningful and dynamic. This innovative and comprehensive curriculum covers Quran and Tajweed, Islamic studies, du'as and surahs, as well as Arabic in an integrated and structured way. Visit safarpublications.org to find out more.